Psalm number 110. The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Right now I would really enjoy to sit down and hear somebody explain each of these lines, each verse. And I wish I could do that. But before we share more from the scripture, I would like us to take a moment for prayer. Heavenly Father, we are around thy holy word, and we desire, Lord, to focus on that source of wisdom, the channel of thy power for our souls. We thank thee, Lord, for this privilege and the blessing of being together from afar and from near. We thank thee, O Heavenly Father, for preparing this moment for us to get together around thy holy word and to ponder, to consider how wonderful, great and glorious thou art, O Lord. Great and glorious in thy creation. Glorious and wonderful in thy salvation. How great thou art, O Heavenly Father, in revealing the mysteries and revealing to us that there are many greater secrets that thou art revealing as we walk on the path of righteousness with our hand in thine. And we pray, Lord God Almighty, that today we may see again, in the midst of the darkness of this world, there is but one true, real, constant light. This truth of thine, in the tumult and the noise of this world, there is but one place that is peaceful and quiet, the place in the hearts where thou hast thy Holy Spirit. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy goodness and mercy. We praise thee for that wonderful might, for the grandeur of thy creating the universe, and the greater greatness of thine own person, the creator of the universe. We thank thee, O Heavenly Father, for sending thy beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to appear among us as one of us, and yet thine only begotten one, that through him, O Heavenly Father, we may receive the grace unto salvation and the strength unto victory, that thy Spirit may also dwell in us and do thy good pleasure, Lord. And now, O Heavenly Father, we see that we are far behind. Not only far behind the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but also we have not attained to the level of faithfulness and zeal of those that considered themselves far behind the meek and humble teacher from Nazareth, the mighty Lamb of God that in his suffering prevailed against the destroyer and in his patience endured unto victory over the powers of darkness. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we acknowledge before thee, knowing that there is no secret for thee. Lord, we are but a weak and small children of thine. Have thou mercy upon us, Lord, and forgive us our weaknesses, we pray, shortcomings, mistakes, misunderstandings, every disobedience. Forgive us our inconsistencies, we pray. And thou, O Heavenly Father, in thy goodness and grace, on the merit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, purify our mind and heart, change, enlighten, our thinking, emotions, affections, we pray. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, make us free from vanity, pride, lust of the flesh, lust of eyes. Deliver us from all doubts and fears, ignorances, superstitions, Lord, we pray. Make us free from vain thinking. Lord, we pray, Thou give us that new understanding, that even the things that we don't understand bring us closer to Thee, and the things that Thou art revealing to us bring us even more closer to Thee. We pray, O Heavenly Father, Thou indwell us with the Spirit of Christ in such a way that the obstacles become the stepping stones, and sacrifices sharing, and struggles striving for victory, and difficulties become opportunities. O Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of the Savior that the final disintegration of our body become enlightenment and liberation of our soul. That with our Savior, we also may say, it is finished. Into Thy hands we commend our spirits. And as we look down back to this world, as our brother Stefan, that we may say, Lord, do not charge them this sin. That the only desire that relates us to the world be the desire for their salvation. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray that in every heart of ours, gathered here and scattered over all the world also, that in every heart there be an altar with the name El Elohi Israel, the Almighty of Israel. That upon that altar we may offer our prayers, our praises, our petitions. And that the offering upon that altar, Lord, may be our own body and soul. And upon that offering, Thou engrave Thy truth, O Father, redeemed in the Lamb of God. Gracious Lord, in these last days, let not the voice of Thy truth be silenced. Let the trumpet of Thy gospel sound forth louder and louder, until from the north to the south, from the east to the west, there be no spot where Thy word has not been heard, until the last trumpet will sound and the heaven will roll away like a scroll, and the mighty Lamb of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, will appear with many thousands of His saints and spell the end of sin and woe, when all the evil will be confined into the bottomless, and all the redeemed joined with the heavenly host in one everlasting and eternal worship of the mighty Creator, the mighty Savior, the mighty Holy Spirit, the Almighty God, the Creator and the Savior, the Sustainer, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. To Thee belong our soul and body, mind and spirit, worship and praise, power and government, total obedience, full submission, joyful offering of ourselves, for Thou art the true God forever. Amen. From the beginning of the creation, our Lord and Savior has been revealing His Father's glory. I believe that's in the Scripture. I believe that's the teaching of the Bible. Even that moment when the Lord said, let there be light. I think in the Hebrew language, or maybe whatever was the language, Aramaic or whatever, before Hebrew, it was not such a complete phrase, let there be, but rather, and God said, light. And at that moment, the light flooded the universe. Even that, in a very special way, signified the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of truth, the light of life. And we see in the Psalm number 110, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ Himself is receiving the word from the Father. The Father said to the Son, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. What did the enemy with the word of God? The opposite. Not sitting and hearing, but rather rising up and against, taking the word of God, turning it around, and pretending to be God. Somewhere in the prophecies we read that. I. He made a big I of himself. I will exalt myself above the clouds. I will place my throne on the north side. I will be equal with the Almighty. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, my Father is greater than I. In the presence of John the Baptist, by the River Jordan, or maybe still in the River Jordan, the Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well, or perfectly, wonderfully pleased. The Father glorified the Son exalted the Father, and the glory is just flowing from one to another. And that is the teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord Jesus Christ is inviting every one of us to sit down at his right hand, hear the words of the Father that he has brought to us, hear the words of the Father with a humble heart. We remember in the house of Lazarus, I think it was in Bethany, that Mary was sitting down at the feet of the Lord Jesus. So we see how the invitation is to share in the glory, and the right response is to come in meekness with a humble heart. I would like to take the time and go line by line and together with you search for the meaning of this psalm, but I'm afraid we won't be able to do that because the time will not be sufficient. I will repeat the reading of the following few verses. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Now most of the kings are ruling in the midst of their supporters. Here is one king, king above all kings. He is going to rule in the midst of his enemies. He is even willing, he offered to us to make us kings and priests in the midst of our enemies. And having said that, I would like to say that the Lord has invited us to forsake the world. But he also commanded us, go into the world. Who are our enemies? Who is the enemy? We used to be slaves of sin. Anyone here who was not? I was. And even now I wish I was completely, perfectly free. But there is still a need to face my negligence, light-mindedness, carelessness, impatience, impurity of thinking, feeling. Struggle to do the will of the Lord from the heart, to accept all that he has allowed to come my way as a purposeful trend, as something that should be exactly the way it is. We were the slaves of sin and Satan. And perhaps, at least some of us, I was, after my liberation, quite a few times I found myself captured by the enemy, which would only indicate that I walked on a forbidden territory, a minefield. But we were the slaves of sin and the world, and the Lord has delivered us, and then he sent us back. Just like the man that was filled with a legion of evil spirits, and after he was healed, he just stayed with the Lord and did not want to go anywhere else but to follow the Lord physically, just to be with him. And the Lord said, no, you return back to your place and share with your family, with your neighbors, how great goodness and mercy the Lord has given you. And that man did not like to do that at that moment. He would rather prefer to be there where he felt safe and secured with the Lord. But the Lord later on said to the disciples, it is better for you if I go, because if I don't go, the Comforter shall not come. As long as you have physical presence, you don't seek spiritual presence. But spiritual presence is the purpose of the Lord's coming in the physical form. Who is our enemy? Against whom we are battling? It's the master of the slaves. Our former fellow slaves. the master of the world, the prince of darkness, the master deceiver, the god of this world. And the Lord shall send the rod of that spiritual strength out of Zion. Simeon, that old man in Jerusalem, when the child Jesus was circumcised, took the child in his hands and he said, "This one is here laying as a babe, that many should be lifted up and many shall be laid down." The power of the enemy will be destroyed by the power that the Father is giving, sending to the world through this small child. And the child grew and went to the River Jordan. And the Father voiced his testimony. "This is my beloved Son." I think in the time in which we live, the time of restlessness, the time of threats of any kind, it might be easy to focus on our physical, material, social security and forget the very important need, our rest and peace in Christ Jesus, our Lord. When I say our rest and peace, I don't mean aimlessness or laziness of any kind, but rather busy working continually in the place where the Lord has placed us, in the direction that He has appointed for us. But working, laboring, battling with peace of the Lord in our mind. I remember when I was a teenager, or even way before that, when I first time faced the conflict of the teaching of my parents and their church, in conflict with the teaching of the world or that society in which we lived. I was only 7 years old, and I wondered what my life was going to be. A prisoner as long as I live, an outcast, or a progressive man of accomplishments, and then perhaps, I was not sure at that time, but perhaps in hell forever. That's how it looked like at that time to a child of 7 years. Who is right? Who is wrong? What is right? What is wrong? And later on, when I was 15, 16, again, what is the purpose of this life? Where is my place? What is my way through the life? What shall I do? What is the ministry that the Lord has for me? And then when I was 23, 24, again the same question, perhaps a wider horizon, a better insight in the world of God, but still many questions. When I was 29, 30, again the same question, and now I'm past 60, I still have the same question. And every time there is only one correct answer: place your hand in the hand of the Lord and walk step by step. What seemed to be the perspective first time when I had that question in my mind was entirely different than what the real perspective was. And then second time, what appeared to be the perspective, the future, was entirely different than what really happened. And let me tell you this, of all the threats and dangers that were kind of hovering right above my head, just about nothing happened. And most of the things that did threaten me were not expected. I would think that today, for the young people especially, might be a difficult thing to look into the future and to wonder, what next? What is my calling? What is the purpose of this living? Where is the justice in this whole world? Is there any? And then where is my place in all of that? Talking to the young people, you are not alone facing that question. As long as a man liveth, that question stands. And there is only one good and right answer: my hand in the Lord's hand and walk with Him. I think it's a wonderful thing to see that the Lord did not always use my successes for the real success, but He always used my losses for the real success. An amazing, marvelous thing that He is doing. I remember once I was in a convalescent home And there are many sick people, many of them dying. Some are dying and still battling against the Word of God. So much enslaved to Satan and darkness, deception. Some are in the wheelchairs, and all they can think of, oh, I was so healthy before, why would God allow this to happen to me? And one of them, a man, very strong man, tall man, but suffered a stroke, and he's in the wheelchair, he cannot walk anymore, and it's devastating for him. He used to be a ruler, a manager, an executive, and now he depends on the mercy of those around him. That's a terrible thing, and he's crying like a small child. And so I try to talk to him, and I say, why are you so distressed? You're not alone in this place. You're not alone. Not the only one in the wheelchair. I know God can heal me, and he can do everything. And if he would, I would do everything for him. I say, sir, would you do everything for him? Yes, he would. Well, then start. Accept what he has given you. When you were a manager, when you were an executive, when you were ruling over the people, did you give everything to the Lord? He said, no. Well, he gave you an opportunity. Now you can. Can you move your hands? Oh, yes, he can move the hands. He cannot move the legs. Waist down, he is paralyzed. Well, can you hold a book? Can you read it? Yes. Can you share with the others? Yes. Well, then do that. You want to do everything for the Lord? But I want him to heal. Now, wait a minute. When you were healthy, did you serve the Lord? No. Now you are in the wheelchair. Do you want to serve the Lord? He is quiet. No, he won't. You see, the Lord brought him halfway to the grave to show him the direction where he was going to. And all he needs to acknowledge that, to confess, to ask forgiveness, and to turn to the Lord with his whole heart. No, he would not do that. And he said, I want you to pray for me that the Lord heal me. Well, I guess he's still an executive, but he's paralyzed. I say, well, I'm willing to do that. But you see, I serve the Lord. I'm not an executive, I'm a servant. Actually, I'm a slave. And he purchased me from my former master, and now he's my master. And I want to obey him. So I can present to him your desire and tell him that you would really like to get healed, and not only you, I would like to. But I have to submit that to his will. And so we'll ask for healing, and then we will say, Lord, thy will be done. Is that all right? Well, yes, he would accept that. So I did. I prayed, and I say to the Lord, Lord, here is a man that would really love to get healed, and he's desperately asking for healing. And Lord, I realize that his real need is the healing of the soul. So I would like to see him walking with a free soul. I would like to see him in good health and sharing the word of God. That would be wonderful. But that's my understanding, and my understanding is limited. And now both our desires and our petitions we submit to thy will, and thy will be done. So in this submission, we pray in the name of the Savior. May thy name be honored, glorified. Amen. By that time, all the others, or most of the others in the wheelchairs, were watching what's going on here. I was kneeling next to his wheelchair, and he looked around, and he saw so many eyes fixed on us, and he turned to the person that was controlling his wheelchair, and he said, get me back into my room. He was embarrassed. Why? He didn't want the Lord's will. He only wanted his own will. He tried to deceive the Lord. Satan tried the same after 40 days of fasting in the wilderness. He wanted to take the word of God and deceive the Lord. It's not a new thing. The deception, the controversy in this world is an old thing. But there is something that is every day new. Every day, fresh. Remember manna in the wilderness? And the children of Israel were hungry in the wilderness. The Lord gave them manna, and he gave them the instruction, and he said, this is the way you are going to do. That manna is not under your control. It's my manna. He didn't say it in such a way. I'm paraphrasing, if you like. And he told them, every day you gather as much as you need. Do not gather more than what you need that day. And our Lord Jesus Christ, in his teaching, said, do not be concerned for tomorrow. Do not be overwhelmed with fears and worries. What are you doing when you worry for tomorrow? You make this day twice as difficult. I'm an expert in that. I can make this day unbearable with the worries and fears of tomorrow or the day after. But the Lord said, with your worries, with your fears, did you ever accomplish anything? No, we didn't. Why do we do it again? Oh, little faith. Is that the answer? That manna is fresh every day. I think it's in the Epistle of John, probably the first epistle, that says, I'm not giving you a new commandment, but an old one, a commandment that is from the beginning. Again, I do give you a new commandment. What is he saying? He says, I'm not, and then I am. I think what he is saying, or what the Lord is telling us, the love of God for his creation, for his creature, is the old commandment, and it's always new. The preacher in the Book of Wisdom, is that the name? Ecclesiastes, said that there is nothing new under the sun. Now I have some questions about his opinions and his expressions, and I think they require some explanation of the situation and of the condition of the heart and mind of the person. But he said that there is nothing new. What is now has been since the beginning, and what will be already happened in the past, something like that. I don't remember everything word by word, but something in that sense, that meaning. And there is some truth in that. Though new things and new ways of deception and snares, new snares, new traps appear all over the world every day. Actually, all of that is very old. Everything comes from the same source, the God of deception, the evil one. We remember, even since the beginning, Enoch was prophesying. That's probably the oldest prophecy recorded in this book, the earliest prophecy. That the Lord is coming with many thousands of his saints, and he will judge all the ungodly people. I think he just said ungodly, godless. All those that are not in communion with God. But I think that there is an older prophecy than that. Abel prophesied with his work and his words. His work was such an offering to the Lord that the Lord paid respect to his offering. He communicated with the Lord. That relationship was confirmed, approved by the Lord. In what way? The Lord paid respect to Abel's offering. It was acceptable to the Lord. Abel also communicated with his brother Cain, and Abel's words to Cain were unacceptable. Cain even took that as a reason of murdering his brother. But now as I think about that prophecy, I think there is one earlier prophecy, and it comes from the Lord himself. Hear, Adam, look, Eve, I gave you all of this, everything. This garden is yours to enjoy it and to keep it. Take care of it. And there is one tree from which I don't want you to eat. Well, the Lord didn't say, look, there are some birds and animals that I don't want you to eat. He didn't say there are some roots underground that I don't want you to eat. He just said this one thing. Why not? The other things were not similar in appearance to the things that were given to Adam and Eve to eat. In this one thing, they needed a discernment. This tree appears to be attractive to eat, but it's not. Do not eat of that tree. Discernment, obedience. Since that prophecy until today, all the true prophecies come from the same, the Father of light, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of true prophecy. Enoch was looking toward the future, and he said, the Lord is coming. Why was it important? Well, for us, it's important that we know that that has been foretold so long ago. It helps. We can see the consistency in the Word of God. It's coming from afar. It's not something that we did not have an opportunity and ability to check, to prove, to see, and be established in the fact that the Word of God is true. The fact. But what was the meaning of that prophecy to Enoch and to, if I may say so, the Christians, the believers of his time, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ in the days of Enoch? It was important for them to look into the future, to see the world has not been created by the Lord and designed by the Creator as it appeared to be now. The world has changed through the transgression, through sin. And the Lord is going to correct that. When Enoch was looking into the future, seeing through that prophetic revelation the Lord as King of kings and Lord of lords, that gave him strength to endure and inspiration to continue and desire to grow. And that desire was growing so much that one day, whoever was looking for Enoch on this earth could not find him anymore. He was gone to be with the Lord. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You see, all the sacrifices were flesh and blood and flames and burning and blood shedding and so on. And now the true sacrifice came. And he is going to be offered. And his blood will be shed. And his flesh is going to burn in pain and suffering. But his soul will be burning in the flames of God's judgment against our sinfulness. What is he offering to his disciples as a sign of that sacrifice? Not another little lamb, not even a pigeon or two pigeons. He offered them a piece of bread, broken bread. And he said, take and eat. This is my body. And he offered them a cup with wine. And he said, take and share that among yourselves. This is my blood. For each of that, for each of the two parts of that offering, he offered thanks and blessing to the Father. How could the Israelites, the Hebrews, accept such a change? Well, it's not a change. It's not a surprise. But it's not Hebrew. It's not Jewish. It's the Lord's doing. It was way back. Genesis 14, in the verse number 18, as Abraham is returning back after he defeated the kings, the invaders, and delivered Lot and his family, and along with Lot, many others, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah and Admah, Seboim, I don't know what happened to Zoar. Abraham is returning back. Verse number 18 of chapter 14 in Genesis. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. He is the priest of the Most High God. We won't take time right now, but in Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 5, 6, and 7, there is much more said about Melchizedek and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ being the priest of the Most High God according to the order of Melchizedek. It was not something entirely new and unknown. If the Jews at that time when the Lord was teaching were willing to understand that God is not the God of the Hebrews only, but the God of the whole humanity, they could have understood everything much better. Seeing the Lord Jesus Christ as the high priest forever, according to Melchizedek, we can also turn back and see that it has been foretold way back in the days of our father Abraham. It has been foretold way back when the Lord said to the people after their fall in the Garden of Eden to leave the Garden of Eden and start their difficult, suffering life on this earth outside the garden. The Lord said that He has placed enmity, animosity. There will be no friendship ever between that seed of the woman that will finally crush the head of the serpent. It has been foretold even in the beginning when the Lord God said, let us create man. John the Apostle, and not only he, many others, but in this particular case, John is looking into the future and receiving the revelation of the Lord. He sees the Lord Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as the Almighty Word of God and the only Savior. And John, the disciple that at the time of the Last Supper was leaning on the very breast of the Lord Jesus, at this time seeing Him in glory, fell down to the ground with his whole body. It was such an impression. Almighty God. His voice was like the voice of many waters. I didn't go to Niagara Falls. If you come very close and you listen to that sound, that hum, it's so loud, it's so powerful, it's so mighty. What John has heard in the Revelation as the voice of the Almighty, I think, was much greater. His eyes were like the flames of fire, seeing through everything. No secret before him. It was so overwhelming that John fell down like unconscious. And the Lord encouraged him and said, fear not. Fear not, I am the first and the last. In other words, the everlasting one. Our hand is in his hand. He is with us when we read, obey, and share his word, the gospel. None of us knows. We just don't know if we are going to be healthy as we are now, relatively healthy, tomorrow. We don't know if we are going to be paralyzed, if we are going to be alive in this body. We don't know anything. We don't know if those that today claim to be our fellow pilgrims, tomorrow will be arch enemies. We don't know. But one thing we do know, he will never deny himself. If we follow him, we can reach only one place, and that's where he is. We will be also. If our hand is in his hand, we cannot walk away from his path. He did invite us to be at his right hand. He said to the disciples, I will make you fishers of men. I'll make you apostles. But he also told them, if anyone come after me to follow me, let him deny everything and his own self. In the epistles of Paul, we find, if anyone is desiring to be a teacher, to be an overseer, to be a caretaker, he desires something that is very good work, labor. We remember back Moses, when the Lord has called him, come now, I will send thee to deliver my people. And Moses said, Lord, they will not believe me. The Lord gave Moses signs and wonders. And Moses said, but they will not believe me. I cannot talk in such a way to convince them. And the Lord said, who has given a man the ability to talk? It's not in the man, it's in the one that has given that. And Moses said, Lord, send him whom thou wilt send. And the Lord was displeased. But the Lord, in his displeasure, did not dismiss Moses, but rather confirmed his Lord's choice. Did you see some of the ministers or preachers or overseers or caretakers or leaders of nowadays that have neither, not desiring good work, but selfish work? Not seeing that the Lord should send him whom he will send, but I'm the one and nobody else. Right away, if not being sure, at least we can, with a reason, question, whose spirit is that? Our hand should be in the Lord's hand. And none of us is the Messiah. He has invited us, but he also told us the rules. Self-denial, not self-election nor self-confirmation. It's not a game. It's a ministry. It's a voluntary enslavement in the love of the Lord belonging to him. When our hand is in his hand, we cannot walk away from his path. Our salvation is in Christ, not in ourselves. Some of you probably heard about eternal security. I don't mean to shock you. There is one. It's right there in Christ. I have never seen, and I believe I will never see, someone being in Christ and being lost. It doesn't happen. It's always outside. So how sure I am in my own self? Oh no, no, no way. That would be false. Our salvation is in Christ, not in ourselves. Place your hand in the hand of the Lord and walk step by step.